I've been asked by more than one person, so I'll answer the question for everybody, so you won't have to ask me anymore. Wedding for Jeff and Stephanie is tomorrow, Friday, at 4 o'clock here at the church. And reception is a week later on a Friday, and the details are posted on the bulletin board. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in Mark 15, and we're dealing with the first 15 verses. The trial of Jesus before the Roman authority and the representative Pontius Pilate. All right, let's take the usual time to get ourselves where we need to be so that we are able to concentrate under the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit and not be a source of distraction to others. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the grace that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for this opportunity to put the most important thing first, and that is the intake of the truth, so we can be built up in Christ, so that we can perform with honor in the angelic conflict as he did. Be with us now in our study, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we've noted here the different groups that are involved in this trial. A trial that, had people been righteous, would have never happened, but had it never happened, Jesus would not have moved forward to the cross. So we can sit here and criticize the Romans and the Jews and everybody else, but all this God worked together for good, obviously, as we know the outcome. But nevertheless, it is instructive to see how people, under various pressure, and under extreme bias, act, and they don't act good. And how easily people are manipulated, and how easily people depart from what little they have when the going gets rough, particularly for a spiritual leader. They bail. They switch their tune to a different one. This all took place early Friday morning. The religious authorities were hell-bent on getting Jesus before Pilate and getting him killed. It's a murder type thing as far as they're concerned. They know who he is. That I want to make. They knew who he was. They knew that he was the real deal. But negative volition is what it is. It will not embrace the truth, no matter how much evidence is shoved in its face. That's the nature of it. That's the way people like this go. The evidence was overwhelming. They were in a position to get all the information, but it was a kangaroo court. Pseudo-witnesses were brought in. They condemned him to death for blasphemy. No witnesses on Jesus' side. But Jesus knew what they were. So there's no need to try to defend himself. He knew where he needed to go. He knew what the plan of God for his life was. He was settled in this. In the midst of this, that all came down on him, once he got past Gethsemane, he was settled. This is the path to go. This is the route God is taking me, and course, he had all of the doctrine about himself, all the prophecy, and he knew the outcome. Resurrection, ascension to the right hand, a name above every name, and providing salvation for all these people, as well as all the rest of the human race for all time. And only he, as far as we can tell, had that firmly down. All these Old Testament prophecies are coming to pass in him at this time. First Advent stuff. So they do their thing. Bind him. He's never been really a physical threat. Most you could say was he ran all the nonsense out of the temple. But beyond that, they bind him. They've got to figure out a way to get Pilate to do his thing. But really, they don't succeed in one respect with Pilate. They never convince Pilate for a minute that this man is any danger to the Roman interest. So they've got to do other manipulation of Pilate. Are you the king of the Jews? He answered, it is as you say. The chief priests began to accuse him harshly, throwing up all this stuff. Then Pilate questioned him again, saying, do you not answer? This was a standout for Pilate. People facing the prospect of crucifixion tended to offer a defense, whether they were innocent or whether they were guilty. But not Jesus. Their charges aren't worth answering. They're what they are. Manufactured, distorted, like the one I mentioned last night. He tells people not to pay taxes. Well, that would ring the bell with the Romans. He never said anything close to that. In fact, he said the exact opposite. And you could have produced all the witnesses in the world to shoot it down. He could have shot it down. He could have shot all these down. But it was not God's plan for him to deal with all of this. To let it go. Sometimes you let it go. You have to know this, though. You have to be in the moment. You have to be a believer, have been brought through something, brought to a point. Well, you could do this or you could do that. No. So he is passive in the face of his accusers. Of course, he has that right under law. You don't have to testify. So he's doing nothing here to, quote, protect himself, make it easier for himself. But there's one thing he will not fail to respond to. A direct question. Are you the king of the Jews? And in the midst of all of this, at his worst moment physically and all this, he's the king of the Jews. He's also the king over all things. And his humanity will be exalted into that position that God has always held and always will hold. God is a king. He's from eternity past. He is royalty. His kingship knows no end because God is indestructible. So this person, Jesus, will be exalted into the same place with God. A human being who is king and king over, obviously, the chosen people, but king over all, for all time. But he's just as much a king then as he spoke these words as he will be in his glory, as he is in his glory. So you see, the truth is the truth. You tell them who you are. They can mock, and they will. They will have their fun, but it won't change anything. They will not change a thing. As we will see how the Roman soldiery in the barracks tried to torment him. But he remains like a king. He shows dignity. He's not freaking out. He shows dignity under duress, extreme duress, that we could all, if we're in situations like that, attain to that. When we are under a blithering attack, if we should come to that. And some of us have had those kinds of attacks in various degrees. Like I told you last night. When they're on your case, when they're in your face, when they're name calling, trying to intimidate you about what you believe and where you go to church, just stay calm. Tell them, I go there because there's where I learn the truth. They won't like it, so what? And that's where I'm going to stand. I will not be moved. I'm sticking with the truth. You know, if all mankind opposes me, the truth is the truth. It doesn't change based on the crowd, the consensus. Truth is not based on consensus. Let God be true and every man a liar. If it came down to that. But obviously God has his, quote, supporters, those who are on his side, throughout the course of human history. We may be few, and there are times when we were really few, and we are today too as far as adjusted Christians. Now, there's a lot of believers out there. If I said over and over again, I'm not saying we're the only ones that are believers. Don't ever put those. That'd be the kind of thing they would have done with Jesus. You said you're the only ones. No, I said there's a lot of believers out there. They're not on sound doctrine. What are they? They're believers. Yeah, they've got a lot going for them and a lot they don't have going for them. And they're going to come to realize the truth that they rejected as believers. You can run from it now and hide. But where can you go? This same Jesus is going to judge every person in the human race. Here he is judged by wicked men, wicked Jews and Gentiles. He's judged. It doesn't change anything. The truth continues to march forward, thank God. But Jesus made no further answer, so Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, Pilate used to release for them any one prisoner they requested. This little bit of information has to be brought in because it's a part of this act, this scene. The man named Barabbas had been imprisoned with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the insurrection. So the Romans had a right to nab them and take them out of circulation and try them and convict them and sentence them to that excruciating death known as crucifixion. So that's another part of this Barabbas thing, because it comes to play in this. The crowd went up. The reader of this doesn't get this, but every Passover on this day, on this Friday, or this Passover day, the crowd came because this was a big, you know, entertaining deal. To get one of their own released, who should have been executed, and this thing, this custom, had come into play. No discussion as to why it came into play, how it came into play. Certainly, there was some reason for it. The Romans have to rule a volatile population, the Jews. And so they make various concessions. And one of the concessions was, we're going to do you a favor. We're going to release one of your own from prison who would otherwise be executed on the Passover. You tell me who you want. And so the crowd comes up as they normally did. Now, the crowd, when you see, if you could see the whole scene, they're not coming in there wanting Jesus dead. They're not. Notice this shift. The Jews want him dead. Pilate doesn't want him dead. At this point, the crowd isn't out there to get Jesus. This isn't a group of people. This is just random people there at Passover would normally come. And probably, no doubt, some people who had held Jesus in high esteem celebrated, were caught up in the enthusiasm when he made the triumphal move into Jerusalem on the donkey. See, this is a time of festival and people doing things and on, but it's all structured around the Passover and all these other things. And this was something they did. In order to be there for that event, you had to get up early in the morning. Bright and early, and to be there. Or you just didn't do that. No, this wasn't required by the Mosaic Law. It had nothing to do with any of that. It's just stuff people add to stuff for their own amusement or for, you know, the Romans giving him this thing. So the crowd comes up, and Pilate wants to get Jesus released. I can't believe Pilate is completely in the dark with regard to Jesus and his ministry. I mean, he certainly, with all that went on, he would have had some people go check it out and say, oh, he's harmless. He's just, you know, he's a healer, and there looks like some remarkable things associated with him. But, you know, he isn't doing anything to cause any kind of riots. There's a lot of people around him, but he isn't doing anything to stir them up and fire them up on this. Jesus could have easily done that. He would add to sin to do it. You saw how he's dealt with these crazies that can be crazy in a minute. When he was dealing with the first feeding, how he has successfully ended that so everyone went home. They're all wanting to make him king. They found the guy. Well, they did, but there was the wrong time and all the rest of it. The things Jesus had to do here to keep this in order. Now, Pilate had to know this. He's got to know what's going on among the Jewish people, and if there's a problem, to come in and deal with it so it doesn't escalate. He's there for peaceful relations. So this crowd comes, and they're going to approach for the normal thing. So Pilate thinks, this will work. He underestimates his enemy here. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? For he was aware, and this is the background. He knew that they were using him. The Jewish authorities were using him. He knew that. They're wasting his time. They're using him. So he was aware that the chief priests had handed Jesus over because of envy. Well, that's a good point. That's a really good point. He nailed that. They were very envious of Jesus. They were green with envy. And this is what sponsored their unbelievable hatred of him. Sometimes the reason people do what they do, there's a sin that's behind it. You got it? There's a sin that's first. It's envy. Envy can sponsor hatred of the object. That's what this is all about. You will see it in certain people. Why are they acting this way? Envy is at the root cause. They resent the object of their dissatisfaction. They're jealous. Period, over and out. So, he knew this. He's savvy. He's been around the block a few times. Everything about this didn't add up for Pilate. We have a guy... All this silliness and these stupid accusations, and there's nothing. And we would have probably known first. We'd have caught this before the Jews. And the fact that they're bringing this Jesus and the high brass of Judaism is showing up. Man, I haven't had them out here. Isn't their custom to sully themselves and come out here? They're not out here trying to defend Barabbas. They let us handle that stuff. But suddenly they're there. See, when things don't add up, there's something fishy, okay, going on. And Pilate, to his credit, he's on top of that. He knows that. He sees through these Jews. He's had to deal with them over and over again. He knows their tactics. These are not honorable men. They can't cover up what they are with their nice outfits and walking in the beautiful temple and saying pious things and standing on street corners and praying and all that kind of stuff. It's a sham. See, the Jews, they were not a good witness to the Romans. Not the collective group, and certainly not their leaders. Israel was put in the world to be a light to the nations and a witness to the nations. Well, their witness is null and void at the time of Jesus Christ. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to ask him to release Barabbas for them instead. Not in a million would they have ever asked for this guy to be released. It is against their interest to have a guy like this in circulation. They've got their interest to protect. And suddenly, another thing that's completely out of character. They want Barabbas released. Now, he may be popular with some of the knuckleheads in the rank and file of the Jews, but he isn't popular with it. He isn't anybody to the Jew, to the Sanhedrin group. They're not in favor of a guy like that. They want guys like that put away. Because this guy poses a potential threat to their whole little world. If this gets totally out of hand, you'll have Roman legions in here, and this will not be a pretty picture. And that's what happened in 70 AD. They walked that tightrope all those years. And finally, it happened. So Pilate says, okay. Pilate thinks, you know, he gets to a point where he thinks he can maybe handle this and get Jesus released. Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with him whom you call the King of the Jews?" Here comes the shocker. They've been stirred up. They have been fed by the leaders to ask for Barabbas and ask for Jesus to be crucified. And when you start shouting and you start yelling and you get all these people worked up, it becomes a mob. It's not a pretty picture. And so they start screaming, the rank and file, "Crucify him." They're chanting this, "Crucify him, crucify him." It's loud, it's raucous. And Pilate now becomes frustrated. Why? What evil has he done? They're not going to debate him. But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." And then Pilate completely fails in his duty. We're just observing human beings here. God, again, I say it over and over again. God is working this whole thing to get a glorious end result. They all meant it for evil. God makes the worst of the worst works it all out for good. But still, we have to look at personalities and their culpability and how they operate under pressure. There's more to it here, but simply the bottom line is wishing to satisfy the crowd. We have people all over like that, playing to the crowd. Wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released. See, it's like, okay, I tried. I'm going to release Barabbas. And have Jesus scourged, handed him over to be crucified. Next stage. So, so we see Pilate continuing to try to get him released. Jesus is going to be released. Jesus knows he is going to be released. Jesus didn't have his hopes and he didn't boil, go up and he put his trust in Pilate. He's not. He's got doctrine. He rides above all that. He rides all above it. It isn't about self-preservation. It is about doing the will of God based on the doctrine that was in Jesus' soul. He studied it all his life. Now he gets to live it out. Now he gets to walk down that path and go through all that that took from that evening all the way to late Friday afternoon. His physical sufferings and so forth. So, 53, at the time there was a custom to release a convicted Jewish felon. 54, this is page 7. This custom is not mentioned outside the gospel accounts. This was not a Roman custom per se, but an annual Jewish request to the Romans at Passover. Verse 8, customs kind of get going, whatever the circumstances. 56, at the time there was a prisoner being held for execution who was the leader of a gang. 57, he was to be executed during the Passover unless his release was requested under this custom. 58, Barabbas was a patronymic, a name identifying a man's father, meaning son of Abba, a common Jewish name. Matthew gives his full name as Jesus Barabbas. Remember, Jesus was a common first century name. 61, Mark seems to assume this rebellion was a well-known incident and fairly of recent derivation. And the Romans didn't waste any time convicting and destroying these people. 62, insurrections were of two types. Those seeking to violently overthrow the Romans. 2, and social banditry. Disenfranchised peasants who had turned to robbery out of poverty and exploitation by the upper classes. Things were a mess in Judea. These kinds of things existed. So, like first century Robin Hoods, these bandits tended to be popular with the common man who resented the Roman rulers and their wealthy countrymen who profited from Roman rule. So it grated on people. And so they kind of secretly cheered for these guys. The two robbers who were crucified with Jesus were probably, perhaps, part of the aforementioned rebellion. 65, Luke says Barabbas was in prison for insurrection and murder, Luke 23:19. So he's a criminal. 66, the crowd went up, meaning the Jews approached Pilate to make the usual appeal for clemency. 67, Pilate's response to their appeal was an offer to release Jesus since he knew that the Jews were using him to execute Jesus. They're trying to manipulate him. I mean, we tend to resent that, don't we? When people are trying to use us to get what they want. 67, Pilate's response to their appeal was an offer to release Jesus since he knew the Jews were using him. I'm sorry, I got that. 68, this is the first of three questions posed by Pilate. 69, Pilate made this offering knowing full well that Jesus was harmless and innocent. 70, Pilate saw through the Jewish hatred of Jesus and that it was fueled by envy. 71, when Pilate came to this assessment, a message was handed him from his wife. It's not going to be a good day for Pilate. I would almost say the poor guy, but he's held accountable too. He's a judge. And God holds all judges accountable to render justice. And all these false-hearted judges that are out there, well, it's on their head. It's on their head. This is a serious thing. When Pilate came to this assessment, a message was handed him from his wife. Matthew 27:19. Get this. His wife sends him a message. Where's his wife at? Well, she may be in town. Maybe they're staying at the other home of Herod. And she has a courier send a message over to her husband. I like this little footnote, this little juicy footnote. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man. For last night I suffered greatly because of him." Why would she suffer greatly because of Jesus? She had a nightmare. She had a dream. Imposed by God, no doubt, as we have seen in various places. And she was a wreck after that dream. God gives Pilate another indication that you're not dealing with just another, even innocent guy. Pilate's going to have more to come down to. This isn't over. Once he washes his hand, literally, "I wash my hands of this man's blood," that means nothing. It is a show. You're all guilty. I washed my hands of this. Yeah, but you pulled the trigger. See? You did the Jews' dirty work. Because they there was a kind of an extortion. The Jews didn't have the military power. But like Jews have been able to do, they'll send a delegation to Tiberius with all their crap. And Pilate wants his job more than he wants to be honorable. So what comes first is him putting his position and his niche and his job, his career, above doing the right thing. Oh, we got a world full of people that do that. We have a world full of people that do that. They know the crap that's going on. They know the illegal stuff that's going on. They work in these places. They see it. But they've got a job. They've got a paycheck. They've got a pension. They've got a family. Why don't more people step? Are you kidding me? You want to be first? So they look the other way, even if they know it's not right. But occasionally, there are those that come forward. For whatever reasons, they come forward. But they are few and far between. We call them whistleblowers. But you know what they get today? The mainstream media is never hardly ever going to pick up on these people. There is so much out there that puts the stake in the heart of the lies that we're being fed. There's hard evidence. We'll get no help from the mainstream media. They're complicit in these crimes. It's there. You can do some research and find out some of these things. So we live in an age of mass lawlessness. People's God is their income and their security. So they're not going to say anything. So Pilate assumes that the crowd will side with the popular teacher and miracle worker. Another false assumption. He underestimates those religious leaders and how they know how to manipulate people. The theme of Jesus' popularity has been a major issue throughout the Gospel of Mark. Look at all the verses that talk about his popularity. From the get-go all the way through, he had to deal with it. It became a problem to him at times, as you know. The crowd, typically throughout Mark, represents the Jewish people. A collection here, a mixed collection of people that showed up that day. Some who had seen him in the temple, right? The doorkeeper female who gave Peter such fits, she'd seen him. They'd seen Jesus. You couldn't have missed this. This was not just another Passover. The stuff was popping. I mean, you'd have to have your head buried somewhere not to at least caught wind of this. Did you hear? Oh, I saw the things Jesus did in public in that temple. So that crowd that shows up Thursday morning, they're not a bunch of evil people. They didn't come out there with the idea, we hate Jesus. They are caught in a moment and they succumb to the pressure. If you were ever to find yourself in a mob situation where everyone's hysterical and reason and rational thought is, you need to get away from it. You don't give your soul over to the collective. That's why it's so important in life that you stand aloof from things and you think about them. Because in our world, those that manipulate know how to do it. They know what buttons to push. It's a sales technique or whatever it is. Oh, these are going fast. You got to get in here and get one. And so the person is caught up into that. Instead of being, of course, with doctrine, you should think, God wants me to have one, I'll get it. Find the last one in there, he'll hold it for me. And if I don't get it, then I'm not supposed to have it, and I'm relaxed. They play with you. Now, some of it might be kind of innocent. They're just trying to make a buck. But other stuff is not so innocent. We have not trained people in our world to identify demagogues. We have not in our schools, we've taken the course called logic out of it. You teach people logic and they'll see through so much stuff. Otherwise, it's little sound bites. Read an article, I take your goofy, take your ideas, put it in there, and you come up with a solution. A conclusion. Logic should be taught and a required subject all the way up the ladder. We always see it in little children. That's not logical to think like that, and it's amusing that they try to put things together and this doesn't work. But it happens to grown-up people. They don't have logic. You're standing there and they're trying to condemn the guy that just yesterday or the days before you saw was popular and did all these things and now he's a monster? And you look who is accusing him? And so you start putting it all together. No, he's not worthy of this. I'm not going to stand here and scream, crucify him. I'm not going to be a part of that. I just happened to be here today out of curiosity to see what clown they were going to release. When a society is not trained in righteousness, they act like this. An adjusted positive believer wouldn't have been there in that morning. Anyway, anybody with any sense, you're going to release a criminal to make us feel good on Passover? That isn't a godly custom. We shouldn't be a part of that. But people are thrill seekers and they like to see this stuff and they like to see blood, right? They like to see people hurt people. I've been observing this. They like to scream for more blood. Even little old ladies, you wouldn't think, it's going berserk. Are you kidding me? That's in her. No, don't join them. Stay aloof. You don't have to be there in the first place, but if you happen to be, don't be a part of it. Look how they exhort some people at concerts. And everybody, yeah, yeah. And it's all BS. It's evil. It's corrupt. Make you feel uncomfortable? Being around that? Because they got everybody all worked up on something that isn't even moral sometimes. There you are. It's the collective soul. Political rallies. Crazy people. They know how to manipulate people. You'd think they'd been doing this off and on, but they got with it on this one. So, normally the Jewish leadership would have welcomed the execution of Barabbas, who posed a threat to their own lucrative place under Roman rule. Another thing, if you're taught, you think, this doesn't add up. This doesn't add up. I encourage you as a believer to ask God to help you to always be alert to things. To have your defenses up. We live in a very evil time. To always have your defenses up. Always be careful. Not that you can't survive it, but you don't want to be a part of it, you know. That's the way I see it. They considered Jesus the greater threat because of his influence with the people. So Barabbas was the natural alternative for release, since as a freedom fighter, sometimes they call them terrorists and sometimes they call them freedom fighters. So today they were freedom fighters. Now they became terrorists. The same damn people. What are you talking about? What are they? This is a crazy world. I mean, it's just nuts. And they know it's so easy to put this over on people and drive whole civilizations down paths. Get them all worked up. Have you seen it over and over again? Through the tube? He was popular with the people. Not for the right reasons, of course. 78 Pilate had not counted on the influence of the Jewish leaders over the crowds and finds himself in a quandary. 79, the question is what to do with this innocent Jesus, verse 12. The response is alarming. They shouted back, crucify him. Did that just pop into their brains? No, it was fed them. It became what it was fed to this crowd. And they're going to carry this STA all the way to the actual cross itself. Probably not every person, but these people are going to continue to mock him on the cross. A big part of Jesus' suffering was verbal mocking. Water off a duck's bill. Consider the source. So the crowd has been up to this by their leaders to stand outside the fortress. So I always like to point that out. They wouldn't go in there because, oh, you might be contaminated. But you want to commit murder on the outside. That's great. You've seen these inconsistencies, these gross inconsistencies in these type of people. Pilate's third question shifts from what to do with Jesus to the injustice of crucifying an innocent man. Why? What evil has he done? See, I see him frustrated here. So Pilate isn't, when you analyze personalities, he wasn't this evil guy sitting up there just waiting to do something bad. He's a professional. He is a professional. He is responsible to Rome. He is functioning in the establishment chain of command, which God has established, even the pagan world, people. Read Romans. And he puts some of the basest men in the highest positions. But then they are responsible in that chain of command to rule righteously and correctly. And some do it in various degrees, as we know. Some are abysmal. We're overloaded with abysmal. And they're driving us to the abyss. They really are. It's all going to come down. We are amazed as we sit here how much has been kept going to this point. But that's because of Jesus Christ. It's because Christ is moving it to where it's the proper point to do what he's going to do with regard to this country and all of its unbelievable arrogance. And this whole idea that we're the good guys and we're the example to the world, this is where has worn so thin you can see through it. Why didn't some of these pastors in the ICE movement figure this out years ago? You can answer that question for yourself. Why were they so gung-ho to send everybody off to war? Illegal wars, I might add. Talk about patriotism, your version of it. My version of it is chain the rascals down, bind the rascals by the chains of the Constitution. There's your 4th of July thing for you. But the presidency does what it wants to do. The legislative branch makes laws, it ignores them. Ignores them. Pontus, sitting up there, ignores these things. Right and left. What's the point? So, anyway. You know, send those boys off to war, huh? What kind of a war? As if all wars were good. And there isn't really a great red dragon out here manipulating people into killing each other. And this last one has lasted all this time. We took care of the Germans and the Japanese, and 3 years of hell, we're still over there. And we have other plans to bomb the hell out of those countries. Look what we did to Iraq. There's pictures all over all the depleted uranium we dropped on them. And all the birth defects. And you read the last verse in Revelation 18 if you think I'm extreme. No, we're way off course. Russia's more righteous than we are. Go figure. Could it happen? You're damn right it could. This happened. It's coming. I am a prophet in the last days. Jeremiah's message was not particularly positive, appreciated, but consider who his audience was. A bunch of negative Jews who wanted to do it their way and all the rest of it. And God put him in that snake pit. And he survived it. Nebuchadnezzar's coming to town. And you aren't going to like it. Tell us words of peace. Tell us nice stuff. You're a traitor. I'm not a traitor. I'm telling you what God told me to tell you. You need to get your act together. Your act's not together. A pagan's coming. And he isn't going to be a nice guy. It's wonderful how God's plan works out. It's just beautiful. If you don't have these ideas that are you can't biblically defend. Because everybody's doing it doesn't make it right. So they continue to sell us a line of you know what. Go with Bible prophecy and you'll see through it. I'm so glad I have the prophecy and the doctrine I have now. I just rejoice in it. I see this light at the end of the tunnel. I see the coming of the Lord. This is what's going to solve this. And it's even interesting to watch Britain get out of the EU, supposedly. But it's going to be a messy divorce. It's going to be a real messy divorce. Because these evildoers, supported by our country, this whole idea of a European Union, coming out of that whole European thing, it wasn't the Americans are standing over here saying, this is a bad idea. Do you see the Americans standing over here saying, that's a bad idea, Europe? We need sovereign nations. Oh no. Our leaders are for this. And now the American people are suffering, the British people are suffering, because they've taken they take our businesses, they put them overseas, and they put all the labor on the backs of low-paying people in these other countries, and then they ship the stuff back here and you buy it. And by the way, all the American jobs leave the country. Does that make sense? Corporations. All this stuff. Outsourcing, all of it. It was a plan. It wasn't an accident based on stupid people. Yeah, they're stupid people, but it wasn't an accident. It's enslavement. And in Europe, you've got Brussels with all these bureaucrats that are writing rules and regulations every day to throw out there on people. What Where's an end to it? There is no end to it. Freedom's gone, and these people are chafing under it, and the British have been too. But on fulfilling a prophecy, Britain stands away from... Britain will not be a part of the Ten Kingdom Nation Confederation of the Antichrist. I think in the next 5 years, the EU and the Euro is going to tank. And I think the Antichrist is going to come in there and pull this thing together in a so fast and so furious, it isn't going to be funny. God hates all this crap. I mean, he's against it. But he's going to bring the Antichrist and he's going to grease his skids. Big time. Europe's running around in circles, doesn't know what to do. There's a strong man going to step in there. And he's going to push all the right buttons, so to speak. And the army he's going to pull together is going to be like Alexander the Great of old. He's going to overthrow nations. He isn't going to put up with this crap called refugees. And Merkel, who sits up there at the head of Germany, says, let them all in. While they rape and pillage and trash everything. And if you're against it, you're a racist. Same nutty stuff in this country. You know that's the way it is. What kind of people promote this? Globalists. People are bought and paid for. And that's what we do. So you got my 4th of July stuff ahead of time. Some more ritual without reality. We've thrown our freedom. We've sold it out. We don't even know how to spell the word. We think because we have a credit card and a God phone, we have freedom. We've lost that. But that's the way it is. It isn't going to be turned around. The prophecies are set in stone. We're on the road. And I thank God we are. And I thank God I have the doctrine that I have and that we have been privileged to have here. And I don't pat myself on the back. It's all the grace of God. We know what we know. So we're seeing it unfold, step by step, just like with Jesus at the first advent. It's unfolding in front of your eyes. No, I don't know what each of the little steps are to get this prophecy and this in place. Of course I don't. That's not been revealed to me, but I don't. That's not important. So I can speculate all day about what might happen and this and how it'll happen and all the rest. You just watch how God does it. It's cool to say he's got this under control. Perfectly under control, as a messy as it is. He's got it under control. He's marching history right down the path where it's supposed to go. Just don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. It's easy to look at it and just throw up your hands. Putting this person up for president? Are you kidding me? Have we lost our minds? Yes. And the press isn't our friend. The press protects evil types. Right and left. That's why I resent anything they say on that tube about this. I resent all of it. They don't care about the truth. So why am I going to give them any of my time? I don't want to give them any of my time. That's just me. I'm not going to judge you. That's just me. You know, I look at, you know, and it's the whole scene. Here are all these people celebrating while the ship's going down. And they're coming ever closer to the edge of this awful cliff. And, oh, they're talking about this and they're talking about that. And, oh, isn't this great? And did you see what this celebrity did? And now look at their hairdo. And, oh, isn't this great? And we go on and on with this insanity. And look at this sports team. And, oh, what are they going to do this year? Win or lose. Who gives a flip? They are headed towards a cliff and celebrating and laughing and high-fiving on the Today Show, the usual stuff. Who cares? what so-and-so said and did and tweeted someone with on Twitter. Who cares? It's endless. We are truly distracted and very easily distracted. Maybe their philosophy is eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we're going to get blown off the face of the earth. So, hey. Maybe I can understand that a little bit. But no, it's bad news. It's bad news every way you look at it. All right, we'll let you go, and I'll see you Sunday, God willing. And thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.